Okay, we have a question from a Miguel and Holly fan member we got to get to on this Monday episode. But first, I've got some sad news for you, Scott.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's how we're starting the sad news.
Uh-oh. We are. We are. But I actually got to get someone on the phone to deliver the sad news because I don't want to do it myself.
Woo! Fine.
Unscripted.
What?
Unshackled. Uncouth.
Miguel, Holly, and Scotty are bringing you a new uncensored podcast daily to make sense of your quickly changing world.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Corncast Edition from Hot 101.5.
Made hot by Corona Beer.
Well, hello. It's a Monday.
Hello.
Of the Uncensored podcast, the Corncast. We were supposed to have a special guest today, but we are going to move them to tomorrow.
Yes.
To talk about a new way of sort of dealing with everything that's happening, or if you're dealing with depression.
It's a treatment, a legit treatment for depression that is drug-free. It's covered by insurance. It's FDA approved. I did it. I've been doing it. I'm in it right now for like the last month, and it's pretty amazing. Plus, I mean, Dr. Upshaw is a psychiatrist as well, so he has some tips on how to deal with all this mess.
It's wonderful. So we will talk to them tomorrow on the podcast. But and there's a couple of things I want to get to. But before, I want to take a second because we don't get this sort of opportunity. And we wouldn't, especially right now in the midst of everything that's going on in the world, spend a lot of time on it. But today we released the music video for What's Going
On. Can you hold on? No, you don't hold on. But this is my mom's doctor, and I just need to.
Oh, that's fine. No, keep going. No, keep going. You can go ahead. As Holly's dealing with that, we debuted the music video for your song, The Litter Box,
yes.
Scott. Let's just play this again.
Let's go. Sitting here in quarantine, watching lots of Tiger King. Is Carol Baskin clean? Did a husband really leave the scene? Like, did a husband really just get up and leave? Joe Exotic got a word of Carol and started going crazy. Then Jeff Lowe stepped up in the picture and he's so shady. Joe tried to shut down Carol. She said, stop that. Now Joe's sitting up in jail, taking a cat nap. Will Joe ever be let go? We better watch that. I just really want to know. Are you Team Carol or Team Joe?
Boom. And so you released the music video today, uh-huh. Scotty the Body. It's on the Miguel and Holly Instagram and Facebook page where, Holly, you play Miss Carol Baskin.
Carol Baskin.
And I play Joe Exotic. And Scott, you're just the rapper.
I'm just the rapper popping
letting
in.
Letting us have it.
Because every other video I've ever made, it's like, it's all me. And I actually thought about this yesterday when I was making it. I was like, I don't want to see me anymore. Incorporate y'all into it. I think people would enjoy that more.
Well, it was nice. Well, Holly, you posted this on your Instagram,
oh,
the
are
music
we going
video.
Over this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm like, you know what? I don't normally on our regular show like to be petty,
but on the podcast, we can be petty.
Nice to I just, feel in
you
the
know,
pettiness.
Exactly. I sort of want to lay in the petty and bathe in it in the podcast for a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
Holly, what did you see on your Instagram as a
Somebody said, God, Tampa radio is so fucked, LOL. I've lived all over the country, been in Tampa for 5 years, and all the Tampa radio hosts think they're good, LMAO. They have no idea how lame they look compared to everyone else. Feels bad, man.
And then what did you reply with?
I said, okay.
Okay. Now,
I'm not even mad. No. You know if somebody tries to insult you mm-hmm. and it doesn't quite hit? Because you don't believe it about yourself.
Exactly. Right.
Like, if somebody were to be like, you know, I don't know. Like, Scott, like, I don't know if this would be the same thing, but they would be like, Scotty the Body is fat. I'd be like, okay.
Be like, you're not living in reality,
I'd be like,
my friend.
That's not really hurtful because he's simply not.
Right.
And so when I read that, like, and sometimes people are like, oh, you're just a bitch who's a bad mom. I'll be like, what? I'm not a bad mom. How dare you? Because, like, there's always a little insecurity inside that I'm like, maybe I am a bad mom.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But he's like, y'all are so lame. And I'm like, no, we're not. first of all, if you've been here for 5 years and you've listened to us, you wouldn't think that.
Right.
Because we're not. I happen to think we're good humans. And then also, who are these other cool radio hosts around the country that you've
cool
seen
ones.
That we can't live up to? I'm like, please show me one of them, and then I'll reach out to them because we all know each other.
Right.
And then I'll be like, hey, you're really cool, apparently, to this guy, so can you give me some tips?
Please help.
Cool
like,
tips.
Like, I just, it's just so off mark that it doesn't even hit a nerve. It's just funny.
Well, here's a little secret for this guy. And if you ever are, and, you know, this goes for anything. Like, if you're mad or you don't think that a TV show or a radio show is not cool to your standards and you seek out their Instagram, guess what? You just helped the analytics of my Instagram because you went, you probably followed me, and then you commented on it. So that just counts as engagement and interaction. So thank you for taking the 10 minutes out of your life that we bothered you so much that you went out of your day, out of your schedule, whatever it is that you're doing, to write on our social media page. Thank you for the engagement. Thank you for helping us when it comes to social engagement, when it comes to our company, and showing that, hey, we can get you to feel some sort of way.
Even
whether
if
it's
mad.
Exactly.
Listen.
So thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Instagram stats don't know the difference between haters and fans, okay?
Okay. Let your haters be your motivators, boo-boo.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, sir, to what's his name?
Mago Vista.
There you go.
Underscore? I don't know.
Dale.
On Dale.
Dale. I mean, you wrote on Holly's Facebook page or Instagram, so we can say it. So
yeah, I don't care.
So there you go. I that happened right before we went on we started doing the podcast.
I got
and
it
I was
when
like,
we were, because we were just on a Microsoft Teams conference call before this.
Yes.
And it came through when we were on Teams. And usually, like, I just like swipe up the Instagram comments because I'm like, I'll go look at them later.
Right.
But I saw the tone of this one and I was like, wait a minute. This a hater right here.
Mm-hmm, not today, bitch.
Anyway, I don't know. People are just mad about, you know, life, and so they have to attack our amazing video. I was just not even mad. I'm like, well, get out of here.
Like, get out of here,
asshole.
Okay.
Stupid head.
Now I have some sad news to deliver.
Oh no.
This is Holly not going to affect you.
Oh, God. Okay.
This is going to affect Scott.
How?
This is going to make you sad, Scott.
Wait,
I apologize. We have to call my boyfriend to deliver the news that I just got about 10 minutes ago.
Oh. Are you
Yeah.
What's the news? Did my TV fall off the wall?
Hello?
Hi, Abe. It's Miguel, Holly, and
Hello.
Scott.
Can he hear
hey,
you?
Hey, can you hear me?
Hello, all. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Why he sound like this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you?
Hold on. Now, I just prefaced this phone call by saying that you had to deliver some sad news to Scotty the Body about something that you discovered this morning.
Yes. Yes, this is true.
What is wrong? Are you okay? What's going on right now?
Wait, what's wrong?
Why? It's taking you a long time to respond. Can you hear me okay?
No, there's a delay. Something's wrong.
Okay, are you hearing something that's not us?
No, it seems like there's a delay. It's just taking a long time.
That is so crazy because it sounds like it's taking you a long time to
like
respond.
A dramatic pause.
I know, right? Okay, well, this doesn't
well,
need...
That's what's happening. That's what's happening on my end as well because there's a delay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we're both delayed.
Oh.
Maybe you should just hang up and call back.
Okay, yeah, let me do that.
Stop this nonsense.
Yeah, let me try to call you back.
Oh, now I'm on the edge of my seat.
Sorry.
I know this is really sad news about something that you love. All right, let me call you back, okay?
Yep, bye.
It literally sounds like he's in Afghanistan and we're in the CNN newsroom with Anderson
like,
Cooper.
Yes. Yes, they're bombing behind me. That's right.
Like, what? Wow. Wait, let me think.
Can you guess what it is, Scott, at all?
That I'm going to be sad for?
Yeah.
That Abe has to be on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, all I can think about is like my TV fell off the wall that he just installed.
God, what if it did, though?
Oh. If it did, I'm going to be so upset.
And it broke.
All right, how are we doing now?
All right, can you hear us better, or is the delay not there?
I don't know. You tell me.
Oh, no, it's still there. That's fine.
Just quick, get this over quickly.
Yeah. So go ahead and deliver us. What did you find this morning in the living room that's going to make Scott sad?
So I came down the stairs this morning and I was checking on everything. I was actually going to check on my herb garden and I stopped at the fish tank of our beloved Cosmo to check on him. I'm sorry to say he was floating and not in the proper way.
Cosmo has passed on.
Has gone to the cosmos?
Yes. He's went on to fish heaven.
My God.
He has passed on.
Wow. How did y'all kill a fish?
Whoa.
It wasn't me.
Not me either.
How did he die?
What, you think he did an autopsy on Cosmo?
What happened, Abe?
Overdosed.
Well, his tank was cleaned yesterday.
Yeah.
And very often, fish of his caliber don't move well. So that would be my guess.
Yeah, he couldn't handle the cleaning.
Oh,
you
no.
You sure he's not just sleeping?
Okay.
Well, I mean, you can give him CPR, Scott.
Now, here's what's awkward, and is Dylan in the, are you in the living room right now?
No, I'm upstairs.
Okay, because we might have to talk about this on the show tomorrow,
yeah.
Because Dylan, our other roommate, this was the fish of someone, because he works for a college.
Oh, no!
And yeah. He was the caretaker of the fish.
You killed somebody else's fish!
It wasn't me, girl. I was not involved in this moving of the fish.
I'm sorry, but everyone is a suspect until we figure out what had happened.
Plans are already in the works to replace the fish before anyone knows.
You can't do that!
Replace a fish? What is this, like a coming-of-age movie in the 90s?
I'm sorry. Can we talk about the fact that if this was Maya and she was not home, would you not replace that fish?
Hell no. That's when we have a good talk about death. that's what I do.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. I've forgotten who I was talking to.
Yeah. I'm crazy. I'm that person.
Wow. Okay, well, we'll have to have a little funeral service for old Cosmo.
Yes, you do. Well, no, you can't, because if you're trying to do the old bait and switch, then they can't know.
Not bait and switch a fish.
Oh, man.
I mean, you can actually bait.
No, that is just wrong.
I mean, could you really tell what Cosmo really... Because
they're going to swim differently. They're going to probably eat differently when you talk to them through the glass.
Differently.
I don't know.
The only person on this call or in this household that would be able to tell is probably me.
True.
And I'm not saying anything.
Mm. Oh, dang.
So
all right.
We're saying the original owner of this fish, you're just going to lie to and act like it's the same fish.
We don't know yet. I think I just texted Dylan, and he's in a conference call, so we can't chat now. So on our morning show tomorrow on the air, we're going to try to talk to Dylan to see what he's going to do, if he's going to tell the person that he was supposed to be fish sitting for that it's gone, or if he's just going to try to do the old bait and switch.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Wow. Okay. Well, Abe, thank you so much for...
Quarantine drama.
At Chateau Oprah, girl. Yikes. All right. Are you going crazy right now? Because I can already tell I got a text from you that said, hey, do you want this bag? And it was one of my old backpacks that's like deep in the closet. So are you going through and cleaning stuff right now?
Listen, you don't want to see the state of our bedroom right now, okay?
Okay, so you are.
Oh, that means
bored.
He's
okay.
Throwing shit out.
So, wow, yikes. Okay, all right, thank you.
I avoided going crazy by giving myself something to do because I don't have any work to do today.
Okay, well, if you want to paint some other walls, like really, like the stark white we've been doing on the second floor, we can talk about that later.
Mm-hmm, yeah, go pick up the paint. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Love you.
I love you too. You guys have a great day.
Well, I've like awkwardly, so we've
Abe
been
said screw you and shut up.
Well, we did the second floor where the living room and dining room is like all white and doing accent walls in black.
Yeah.
But then there's like part of the wall where the stairs are. That is still like that, I forgot, type of gray that we did. And he was like, well, do you want me to do all of it white? Because it's a lot extra he would have to do. Because he then would have to go like on all the stairwells would have to be, he would have to repaint them white.
Do you really want all those stairwells white? Because if you try to get some furniture up and down those stairs, you're going to have marks.
That's true. You might as well wait.
Well, listen, actually, he owns a painting company, so that's what he does.
Maybe he doesn't want to paint right now. Maybe right now he wants to tend to his herbs and clean out the closet.
I know. Well, listen, this is why I'm a, this is actually the first time I broached the subject on the podcast, because I've been thinking it for a while since he did everything else white. So I was like, let me just wait till his business sort of slows down and then just sort of be like, Because I know if I like plant the seed and I'm like, what do you think about those walls and how, you know, the other ones are stark white, but... No. That one is it.
He's going to run out of stuff to do and clean, and then eventually he'll do the painting.
Okay.
Let him just clean the closet and
I know,
water
I'm gonna
the plants.
I'm going to let him get to it on his own. I'm not going to force it because he's a doer. I would just be sitting right now. He always wants to do stuff. So this is going to be sort of a little bit of a shorter podcast today because we had a conference call, which, by the way, we're good. We're here. We're not going anywhere. But we did get an email after Friday's podcast that I wanted to go over. I'm not going to say their name because they did want to rename. They wanted to be anonymous.
Okay.
Sorry. It's from Monday. This was their email. Hey, Miguel, I was listening to your podcast today and you briefly explained that you'd had issues with shame as it pertains to your sexual interactions. I also lack confidence in the bedroom because of shame of my body for multiple reasons. Growing up, we always see these sexy scenes on TV, which leave people like us feeling clueless on how to perform that way because we lack the confidence. There are many reasons why people may feel shame towards their body and sexuality, whether it be for religious reasons, weight, gender, abuse, etc. I was wondering if you would be interested in describing how you were able to get through that, even if you haven't entirely. I know it's a huge process. Unfortunately, I don't even think I've been able to stick my toe in the water very far. It affects my desire to have sex at all, honestly. I know it affects what I can do for my partner. I know it's very personal, so I understand if you can't. If you can elaborate more, though, I think it would help a lot of people who are too ashamed to even admit it's an issue. Thank you. P.S. If you read this on the podcast, I like to remain anonymous. Thanks. Platypus.
Platypus.
Platypus. So, and I don't remember the full conversation. I know we were talking about religion at the end of last week's podcast, and then I went into sort of how that affected my sex life because there was lots of shame around it. And to be honest, there's not one thing I did. There's not one, you know, I started telling myself I looked great, and then it happened. I think it was also just over time when you start to learn. I think it was the turning point for me was, and this just sounds so stupid, is when I watched the movie He's Just Not That Into You.
Okay.
To me, that was the first point when I realized, first off, that I was seeking the wrong people that were giving me wrong feedback. Mm-hmm. Because I was going after people that didn't like me in the first place, not even physically, but just there was no connection.
Yeah. Right.
And I was still trying to go for them. So then once I realized, you know, okay, they haven't texted me in 2 weeks and I'm always the first person to text, maybe they're just not that into me.
Right.
They're not willing to put in the work and the sacrifice like I would be. So clearly they're not into me. So then once I finally started dating people that were into me, and that sort of and like I said, I'm not a psychologist. This is not, you know, what you should do, but this is just sort of my process. Once I started dating people that were into me, that sort of gave me a little bit more confidence because I felt like I wasn't striking out all the time because I was always going for the people that weren't into me. And so then I just was like, well, crap.
Nobody likes me.
Well, nobody.
Yes, people do. It's just that you're not looking at them.
Right, exactly. And so once I started that, that sent me down to like, all right, so I'm not totally undateable. But then I was still looking for that validation in someone else. And I think it was when I did my summer of single a couple of years ago, right before Abe and I got together, when I would go on dates a couple of times, and even if I really started to like the person, I would be like, nope, we're just going to be friends because I'm learning to love myself. And so it was a little bit of doing CrossFit, really diving into our jobs, diving into my friends, and sort of getting to know who is 30-something Miguel, because I was still working under the premise of, well, I'm still this, you know, very frightened and insecure person. But I wasn't. I'd grown.
Yeah.
And once I started to truly see myself and what value I bring to the world, that really helped me start to feel more confident. So I realized that, okay, just because I don't have a six-pack, I don't have, you know, a big old, you know what?
Oh.
I'm not, you know, like whatever.
Oh.
That all these superficial things that I thought made me, that would make me a confident person, that they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many people that have those bodies that you think have that confidence, they don't. They're trying to fill those emotional holes up with sex. And they think that, well, if I have a great body and if I have these really attractive sex partners, that will validate me as a person.
It does not.
My confidence in the bedroom did not come from what I look like. It came about how I felt, what I could bring to the table as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to love yourself first before you then can start to explore what it is that you feel like you're lacking in the bedroom when it comes to confidence.
And I feel like when you say that you need to love yourself, that's like the first step, and then we all kind of gloss over it and then go to the next step. But that in and of itself is a very difficult and potentially long road. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even start with, you know, like, let's just say you're like, oh, good morning, self, love you today. Like, it's way more deep than that. You have to understand who you are. You have to do a little digging to figure out why you are that way. You have to unpack your own history.
Right.
Because if you don't know yourself, how can you love yourself? So it really is a journey of self-discovery to figure out, well, who the hell am I?
Yeah.
And what do I like? What do I not like? What makes me do the things I do? If I'm just trying to find sexual partners to it's like a game for me. Like, am I just trying to, like, you know, another notch on the belt or whatever? Why am I that way?
Right.
So once you start to ask those, and believe me, those are not necessarily fun questions to ask yourself and figure out, because there's a lot of pain there probably.
Yeah.
Once you can start that process, though, and figure out who you are, that's how you start to love yourself.
How did you start that process, Holly? Or what, if you've gotten there yet, conclusions have you come to about what you love about yourself and what's given you confidence? And I'll be coming to you too, Scott.
Let's see. I mean,
it's a lot to just be like.
It's a lot.
How you love yourself, girl?
You asked like five questions. What was the?
So basically, what do you love about yourself that you would say gives you confidence?
Okay. So current moment, what I love about myself is finally my empathy for others, and my, like, I pick up on how others are feeling, and I sort of have this weird, it's like my superpower. It's like a blessing and a curse, where you always feel what other people are feeling, mostly if you're close to them. Like, I'm a type of an empath where if I'm close to you, then I'm going to know that if something is wrong or whatever. And I used to hate it. And there are times when I still hate it, because especially if you don't realize that you're that way, you just feel what everybody else feels.
Right.
And so I would like pray for everybody at work to be in a good mood so that I could be in a good mood. Or I would really hope that my partner didn't get, you know, a bad email so that we could have a good night or whatever. And so I'm that person. And it took, and I'd like sort of been figuring it out for the past maybe 8 years or so. I found out what an empath is, but it has taken like that long to really wrap my head around it, because again, there, like, that kind of shit sounds like made up almost, you know. It's not a lesson that you learn in school. It's not like math. It's not like, oh, here's how you write a paper. It's, you really have to kind of go off on your own and research it. And so when I started therapy this past summer, then it really broke it open that I have like these codependent tendencies, and that it's because of the way that I was raised and how my mom was traumatized as a kid. And then that impacted how she raised me. And I've just been pouring all this love into people so that they'll love me back.
Mm.
And that's not how love works. And I didn't, I mean, I always felt like I love myself. I was like, I like me. I'm really good at this. But what would end up happening was the love that I had for myself was not strong enough to withstand the love that I was giving to other people.
Mm.
You know, you can't pour from an empty cup, that whole
thing. That's a powerful statement right there.
Yeah. So when I would get into a relationship or even with some friendships, I think, especially even the relationship I had with work.
Right. Mm.
It was like I had love for myself, but if anybody else had a need, that need superseded my self-love.
Right.
It would be, well, let me just make sure you're okay. And that comes from, again, childhood, which is why I say you have to go and do the work, which is not necessarily fun. But I love now that I am so emotive and feeling, and I see it more now as a strength to help others. And I'm literally, you caught me at the beginning of the journey. So I like had this mini revelation on Friday after the show. And I had had a couple of hard seltzers.
Yep.
And I know this is kind of off topic, but I realized Friday, I think I figured out my next purpose or my new purpose or the next path. And that is to be a light in the darkness.
Mm.
So I went through a very dark time last year and it felt unending. I had no idea what was the outcome. I'm still really not sure what the outcome is going to be totally, but I'm at least in, I feel like the trees are not so thick. The fog is lifting. So I'm getting out of it, which I knew I would, but you don't ever know when.
Right.
And so I'm on that side of it, of the darkness, and it feels like America, the world, is being thrown into the darkness right now.
Right.
And I'm like, that's why I had to go through it.
Mm.
That's why, because there's always a reason.
Right.
And I'm starting to think, and this literally came to me on Friday, I'm starting to think that the reason that I had to go through all that shit, and I'm still in the middle of getting through some of it, is so that I know what other people are feeling, and I can help be the light, you know, and show you that, to show you that it's going to be better eventually.
Wow.
So, and that takes a lot of self-reflection.
And that's what it all comes down to, is self-reflection.
Right.
And being able to look inside of yourself and put light in those areas that you want to keep in the dark, that you don't want to think and go over.
And it's so weird how society does it. They're like, anything that might be weird or different or unique about you, society kind of shuns that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're like, just be normal.
Right.
Why aren't you just normal?
Be like everyone else.
I'm like, I don't know why I'm crying when I'm angry at someone. Like, ugh, that was the worst because I would always feel so weak.
Mm.
And it's not. It's just an overwhelming flow, this powerful, like, surge of emotion because anger is a very powerful emotion.
Yeah.
So when I feel deep emotions like that, it's like my body can't handle it. And the I have to cry it out because I will explode.
Wow.
So it's like those things that like I would hate about myself, they're actually strengths. And I'm just now, literally just now, to person who emailed, learning how to do all this stuff. I'm 38. I thought I had it together in my 20s. I was just causing myself more harm then.
It's a process.
It is.
Wow. Scott, what about you? Now you're on the other end of this from where we are because we're in our mid-30s. You're in your early 20s right now. What about this for you?
Okay, like I want to reestablish the question. So it's what do I love about myself or how do I find what I love about myself?
Yeah.
Well, that was two questions. Is it both of those?
Yeah. So
I guess I could go through both of them at the same time. I mean, for me, like I don't think that I am obviously like fully accepting of like who I am because I think like I'm changing constantly at this point.
Right.
Even if I think back to a year ago, I'm like, holy moly, so much has changed, and I've changed in so many different ways. But for me, I like the way that Holly just put something about changing the meaning of what you hate about yourself. And, like, you know, you get mad at yourself because you're so angry. And these are what I do for me, and this is how I find self-love. Because I used to be so hard on myself, whether it was in a relationship that was toxic or friends that were toxic, and I'd put the blame on myself to say that that's what's wrong with it. And it took me a long time to finally flip the script and realize that that's not the problem here. You are not the problem in this situation. The situation is the problem, and you need to remove yourself from it.
Mm.
It's like not taking yourself as a flaw because you're not this good in a relationship or you don't have the capability to be a good friend. No, it's just those situations don't help. And so that's how it was for me. And so I had to flip the script on my life and say, okay, what do I love about myself? I don't get, you know, either too emotional in a situation. It's that I'm more determined to make the situation better and other people maybe not ready to take that step. Or I remember, and I talked about this when I first came on the show and I was dealing with, I left my fraternity and I got, you know, I just dropped like 75 quote unquote friends because I decided I wanted to confront people on some BS that was happening. And at first it's very quick. And for me, I was like, oh, you idiot. Like, what'd you do? Like, once you start hearing everyone else's voice get to you, like you made the wrong decision or you're this or a traitor, all this. It took me a while to finally, again, flip the script and realize, wait, you stood up for what you believe in. And for that, you should be proud of yourself. For that, you should love yourself because that shows who you really are in the long run. It's not right now in this moment that you have to take advantage of. It's who do I want to be in the long run? And I knew that was a value that I wanted to be. And so all the things I love about myself is one of them is I do stand up for what I believe in. I am determined. I do work hard and I accept those things. And at this point, what I do as a reminder for myself every day is like, I literally have a board in my wall of like things I just, as soon as I think about it, I write it. And so either things I want to become, like I want to be someone that you look at and you're like, you're a hard worker or you're knowledgeable about this. I put reminders because not every day you're going to feel that way. And so for me, how I find self-love is I put these reminders in my face every day to make sure that at least I'm seeing it. And my beliefs is that even if you don't actually believe it in that moment, somehow it's going into your self, like self-conscious or and making an impact on you. And so on my mirror, it's like, today is going to be the day. You are worth it. You are enough. And so even if I wake up and I'm like, you know what? Today's just not feeling right. And I look at those notes. It's like, okay, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, everything's perfect. But it's also a reminder that, you know what? One day you're going to be a little bit better. One day it's going to pay off. And it's just, for me right now, yeah, I do love a lot of things about myself. You know, I'm not in a dark place at any means, but I do also strive to continue to get better. And those are, for me, what I know I can control. Because I can't just say, like, one day I'm going to fully love myself, but I could set up these parameters to be like, okay, I'm taking one step closer to get there. And that those are the little things I do.
That's why it's such a process.
It is. And it is a process. And so to you, the fan member that wrote the email, it is a process. And you can see three different stories on how we each have gotten the confidence. Now, granted, some of us, it's a little bit different when it comes to you're specifically talking about your body and how do you get over that shame in order to be a better sexual partner. But that's just something that you have to sort of experience and work through yourself because everybody's journey is just a little bit different when it comes to that.
Right. And I would say as some advice for you is to get to the root of why.
Right.
I mean, because even in the email, this person listed several different reasons. I mean, many may feel shame towards their body and sexuality, whether it be for religious reasons, weight, gender, abuse. Those are all fantastic reasons why one might have shame surrounding sex or their body. And so you need to get to the root for what it is for you. Do some research online. There's a lot of resources online for mental health aid and things like that, especially if you don't have a therapist or for some reason can't get to one right now. But work through that original root of why it is that you're having shame. Because once you address that, that's your go back and do the process.
Right.
And so let's say it is weight, and then you go on a path down a different journey with maybe other people who are in the same boat as you. And like get inspiration from them. Or if it's abuse, that's a whole different thing that you need to heal first and then work with someone. Hopefully I would suggest working with a therapist, but if you can't, then, you know, research online some self-help books and things like that, to try to heal from it, because then you're going to start making steps towards loving yourself and getting back to a sexually healthy place.
Love it. Trying to help you out in this crazy time because you know what? You got nothing else to do, so why not work on your inside?
Amen.
You got nothing else to do except to watch more shows.
If we could all come out of this this quarantined pandemic thing knowing more about ourselves and what makes us the way we are, we would have a nicer society.
I love doing that than trying to, you know, not eat cookies.
Gosh, there's so many cookies in the dang house.
Don't forget, I made you guys fudge.
Oh, that's true. There's fudge, girl. Give it to me, honey.
Sorry.
No, don't worry.
Not
don't,
really.
Don't it's be sorry.
Freaking
I'm not
delicious.
Sorry either. I'm going to eat it.
Really yes. Good. I'm going to get my fudge on tonight, girl.
Yeah.
Holly, what's all your social media?
Radio Holly on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and Snapchat, although I'm not on really Snapchat at all. Sorry. And Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Scott?
At Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
And I am Miguel Fuller, MIGUELFULLER on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Snapchat, and the TikTok. Don't forget, you can listen to Miguel and Holly Uncensored, our Corncast, on the Hot 101.5 app. On your iTunes, just type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Please leave us a review and subscribe. It helps us grow the podcast. And just like our Miguel and Holly fan member did, you can always email me if you have a question that you want us to talk about on the podcast, or if you want to be featured because you've lost your job because of everything going on with COVID-19, we can let you put out your Venmo, your Cash App, and maybe some people listening want to throw you a couple dollars, all right? Or maybe they have a job for you.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Never know.
That would be awesome.
So email me, Miguel, at hot1015tampabay.com, and we will see you tomorrow. Bye, y'all.
Catch up on previous episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored now on the Hot 101.5 app or on iTunes on your smartphone.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Quarantine Edition from Hot 101.5, made hot by Corona Beer.